Mark, Luke, and John. Now, two of these tell us about the birth of Jesus. Do you know which two they are? Which two Gospels tells about the birth of Jesus? Now, some of the kids had to learn Bible verses or had some readings. And if they remember what the verse was, they should be able to tell me at least their Gospel. Can you tell me one of the Gospels that tells about the birth of Jesus? Okay, move it up to the team. Okay. Matthew is one of them. Good. What's the other one? Move it up to the teen bracket if the younger ones can't do it. Luke. Those two. Matthew and Luke. Now, when I've read about the birth of Jesus, I've noticed the number of times fear is mentioned. Have you ever noticed that? Probably the most well-known is the phrase that's repeated so much, do not fear or do not be afraid. It comes up so much in the Christmas story. Now, have you kids ever been afraid? What type of things are you afraid of?
The dark.
The dark. Oh. Yes. I remember as a number of things that were dark when I was a little kid. I was afraid of under my bed at night. And the other was the stairways going down to the basement. If the doorway was open to that at night when it was dark, I didn't even like going by that. Now, in the story about the birth of Jesus, there was a number of people who were told, do not be afraid. Do you know who they were? Yeah? Oh, you don't know. Okay. we sing about some of them sometimes. Who do you think was told not to be afraid? Yeah? Excuse me? Israel? Well, they were Israelites. Yeah? Get that? Okay, the shepherds were told not to be afraid. Mary and Joseph. Okay. There's shepherds, Mary, Joseph. Okay, there's one other that's a tough one. Teens? No, Moses isn't in that. Sorry. Adults? There's a fourth one that was told to not be afraid in the Christmas story. Luke's Gospel. Zechariah. I told you that was a little tougher one. Now, why was Zechariah afraid? What do you think? You guys didn't even know Zechariah was afraid. So you probably wouldn't know why. Well, let's listen to the story about Zechariah. In the time of, this is in Luke's Gospel. If the adults want to follow along in their Bibles, they're welcome to do so. This is Luke's Gospel. Chapter 1, verses 5 to 12. Now, kids, now you listen real close, and when you hear the reason why Zechariah was afraid, you raise your hand. Okay? In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. That means they were old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid." I didn't see any hands. Okay, why was Zechariah afraid? Because he saw an angel, right? He went in and thought, "I'll just burn the incense." Might have been his only chance in his entire life as a priest to do this, because that was a special duty that had to divide up among all the priests. And he went in there, and suddenly there was an angel there. Nobody else was supposed to be there. And then this being with bright light shows up, and he was afraid. But Zechariah was told not to be afraid. Now let's listen to the reason. "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John.' Zechariah was not to be afraid because God was pleased to answer his prayer." Now, if somebody shows up that you might have reason to be afraid of, do you ever, how many of you kids are in school or in kindergarten? Okay, most of you are. Has the principal ever wanted to talk to you? That's something to, yeah? No? Okay. Okay. Usually when the principal wants to talk with a child, it's because they haven't been doing something right. And it's the reason to be afraid when the principal comes and says, "Could I talk with you, please?" I had a couple cases that way in my life growing up. The bad cases I'll not mention, but even when I was in seminary, the president of the school came to me. He also happened to be my landlord. And said, "Could I speak with you after chapel?" I was like, uh-oh, what did I do? I didn't think I had done anything. But he said, "You were an electrical engineer. I don't know anything about this. My son has a physics project. Could you help him?" I was like, phew. It was a case of, I think, Zechariah. Uh-oh, an angel's here. What have I done? I'm in trouble. And it was, no, God is pleased with you. He's going to answer your prayer. Don't be afraid. This is a good visit. This is okay. Zechariah and Elizabeth had wanted children and could never have any. And now they were going to have a son, and he was to be a very special son. He would prepare the way for another, even more special person. God had promised in the Old Testament that he would send a person to rescue, to save his people. And that person would be called the Messiah. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, he's called the Christ. And John would be the one that would prepare the way for this. Now, we mentioned Zechariah. Who were the other ones that were told not to be afraid? Mary and Joseph. Okay, well, why was Mary afraid? Can you guess? Because of an angel. There seems to be a pattern here. An angel appeared to her as well. But why was she not to be afraid? Because? Right. Because the angel was not going to do anything too bad to her. Right. If you want to continue looking at it, it's in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. I think there's a junior that should read this.
But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.
So why was Mary not to be afraid? The angel wasn't going to do anything bad to her, but what was the reason that, even beyond that? Did you catch that? Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. God was pleased with Mary as well. And she was going to have a special child too. She was going to be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah, the one that would come. Now, we already mentioned, let's see, we've gotten Zechariah and Mary, and you mentioned Joseph. Who was the other? The shepherds, right. Okay, the shepherds, they were told not to be afraid. Now, they were outside of Bethlehem. What were they doing outside of Bethlehem? What do shepherds do? They look after their sheep. Right. When you get an easy question, you answer it quickly. Good. And they too were told not to be afraid. Why do you think they were afraid? Okay, now let's follow through. Zechariah, because an angel appeared to him. Mary, because an angel appeared to her. And the shepherds, because an angel appeared to them, too. It's followed the pattern so far. In Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, we find out why they were told not to be afraid. Again, some of these readings were by children who were sick. Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The angel had good news for the shepherds. They should be filled with joy because the Messiah had been born. Zechariah had been told it, and Mary had been told it, and finally Jesus is born, and the shepherds are told that Jesus, their Savior, was born in Bethlehem that very day. There was the shepherds we just sang about, and there was Mary and Zechariah. Who was the fourth one? Joseph. Joseph was afraid. It tells us that in Matthew that Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married. And Joseph found out that Mary was expecting a baby, and that wasn't right. He was afraid to marry her. This was the exception. It wasn't because he saw an angel, but he found out some news from an angel in a dream. You can dream about things, and they're not quite as scary as when they actually show up in front of you. And he thought, "Oh, what am I supposed to do? Maybe I should break this engagement." But we can read what happens in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. It says there in verses 20 and 21, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Now, did you understand the reason that the angel gave to Joseph not to be afraid? What was the reason that he was not to be afraid? Hmm. God was doing something special. With the other ones, that God had, Mary had found favor with God. Zechariah was told that God was pleased to answer the prayer. The shepherds were getting good news, and Joseph is told, God is doing something special. That baby was caused by God himself. And the baby's name would be Jesus, because he would save his people from their sin. Now, fear is mentioned a number of other times in these reports about Jesus' birth, but they're less known. Two of them have a very important message. The first time comes before Jesus was even born. When the angel appeared to Mary, he encouraged her that nothing was impossible with God. He told her that Elizabeth and Zechariah were expecting a child, even though they were old, and they had never been able to have children. So Mary went to visit them. And as soon as Mary arrived, Elizabeth recognized that Mary was to be the mother of her Messiah and her Lord. And Mary responded with a prayer. The adults might know the name of that. Do you know what the name of that prayer is? The Magnificat. And that's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And we're going to hear that read to us. And the children, see if you can pick out where in this reading, a portion of that prayer, I think. The whole thing. See if you can pick out where it says, talks about fear. So there's two readers should come. Yes?
And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of my humble state, of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has left the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, ever, as he said to our fathers.
Did you pick out where it mentioned fear? Adults? Did you pick out? Okay, Lucy? Excuse me? Those who fear him. Yes. There's that one short verse. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. That's verse 50, chapter 1, verse 50. Now, how is this different from the other times we've talked about where it mentions fear? What did the angel tell the shepherds? Don't be afraid, right? You don't have to whisper. Don't be afraid. And what did the angel tell Mary? Don't be afraid. And what did the angel tell Joseph? Don't be afraid. And Mary prays to those who fear him. Wait a minute. Are we supposed to fear God? Yeah. This is a very important verse and an important thing to understand, that there's some ways we are supposed to fear God. Now, there are two types of fear. My father often used to use an illustration. He was an electrician. You know what an electrician is? Yeah? What's an electrician? light. It's someone who works with electricity. Good. And do you have to be careful when you work with electricity? Yeah, yeah. Turn the light off. Turn the switch off before you, or pull the plug out. That's even better. Before you work on anything with electricity, you pull the plug out. Now, my dad used to say, it's a good thing to fear electricity. I was an electrical engineer, and we had to take all different types of courses and as we went through the program. And one of them was with these with big power generators. I mean, these real big things, and I was afraid of that. I didn't like these 400 and 800 volt equipment and big sparks, and I liked the computer stuff that had little 5 volt and 12 volt that you couldn't get shocked with. Electricity can kill you. It's so powerful. But my dad worked with it and knew how to respect it. So in one way he feared it, but he dealt with it properly. And that's the way it is with God. He is holy and will not tolerate sin. And we have to fear him, respect him for that. But it says that he loves us and his love is perfect. And when we're right with him, we don't have to be afraid that he's going to come like that principle that we're afraid of. It's going to say, would you come? I need to talk with you. And we're going, oh, what did I do? We don't have to fear God that way. Now, these two ideas may seem to contradict each other, but they don't, because they're two different types of fear. One is respect because of who God is. It's like the principal, we should respect him because he's a teacher or the principal of a school. But the other is being afraid, and we don't have to be afraid if we behave ourselves in school. We don't have to be afraid of the principal coming and asking to speak with us. And these are so important, I've asked the youngest children in the Sunday school to memorize two verses, and they'll come and give us those verses. One verse. Okay.
Psalm 103, verse 17.
From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him.
Now, if you're quick, you probably have already memorized it. Think you got it down? As from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. The other verse was from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. There is reason to fear God, and the reason is tied closely with the Christmas story. What reason was Joseph given to name the child Jesus? Why was Joseph supposed to name the child Jesus? Do you remember? I read that. Right, and then he gave a reason, because...
Because he's going to save his people.
Right, because he will save his people from their sin. God is holy, and that means he will not allow sinful things to remain near him. Now, do you know what sin is? What's sin?
Lies.
Lies are sin. What else is sin? Okay, doing something that's bad, particularly when you know you shouldn't, that's sin. Okay, we're not supposed to fight back, and when we do, that's sin. Revenge is sin. Well, there's a lot of things we could go through individual, and you know, we have a real problem because we're all sinners. The Overcomers class memorized a number of Bible verses this past year which talk about this problem and also the answer to it. So I believe Bethany and Lucy. Is Bethany here? Yeah, okay. I see the two. They will come forward, please. Perhaps maybe if all, I think five are left from the Overcomer class. If you would all come forward at this time, we'll just go through these verses, I think, quickly. That would be Bethany and Lucy. Emily and Geraldine, are you here? Yeah, okay, there you are in the back. Okay. And Rebecca, okay, we're down to... Okay, Romans 3:23.
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yeah. Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Romans 5:18.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Now, we talked about sin as being lies and doing bad things that we shouldn't do and taking revenge, hitting back when we shouldn't. The first verse that was quoted looks at sin a little bit differently. It says, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, there's different ways of, different words in the Bible for sin. And one of them is like the idea of if you have a goal you're trying to reach and you just don't make it. You just don't. Another is a target. You're shooting at a target and you just shoot past the target. There's another word, it's often translated with this big word that we don't always understand in the Bible. It's called trespasses. But if we see a sign that said, no trespassing, we would understand that as when God has drawn a line and said, don't cross this line, and we go, we just sinned. And this says we fall short. There's a standard that God has set, and we just don't come up to that standard. And you know what the standard was? What did it say? We fall short of what? Anyone else? What do we fall short of? The glory of God. Basically what this says is God's standard is His perfection. If you can say, I'm as perfect as God, then you can say, well, I have no sin. But nobody, I have never met anyone, even those who say, well, I don't have any sin, when you say, well, God's standard is to be as perfect as He is. Are you as perfect as God? They say, well, no. Not as perfect as God. Say, well, then you fall short. We're just not up to the standard that God wants. The next verse said, told us what the problem was. It says the wages of sin is death. Now, what are wages? Do you guys know what wages are? I didn't think so. It's one of those words that we say, okay, I see one... teenager pointing the other teenagers. I know this one knows. Wages are the things that what we earn. Do you ever do any jobs around the house to earn some money? A little spending money, or you know, do you ever do any work to try to earn something? Well, one day maybe you will be. What would you do if your mom and your dad said, well, if you go out and rake up the leaves outside, or if you sweep outside for me today, I will give you 2 francs. And you say, well, okay, you know, it's fun playing the leaves anyway. So you go out and you do it. Now, when you're done, what do you expect? You expect to get 2 francs for it. That's what you have earned. That's your wages. You did a job and that's what you get. Well, when there's... Did you know that when we do bad things, we're earning wages? We are, if we want God to be fair, then we want Him to pay us what's coming to us. Right? Is that true? I see some doubt. Do we want God to be fair? I hear some yeses. How about the rest of you? Do you agree? I had an acquaintance used to have a t-shirt. God isn't fair. Ask me about it at the bottom. God isn't fair. I'm glad that God is not fair. Because if God was fair, He would give me what I've earned. And the verse that was read said, the wages of sin, what we've earned, is death. My sin earns me death. That separation, my physical body, when it dies, my spirit leaves it, and it's separation from God forever. And that's what my sin earns. So I don't want God to be fair. Instead, I like what we do at Christmas time. And we give gifts. And God has given a gift. Now, we don't earn gifts. If we earned it, it wouldn't be a gift. And if it's not, instead of earning death, He says He gives us as a gift life. And that comes through Jesus Christ. And that the third verse explains that. Romans 5:8 said, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The wages that we earned by sinning were already paid out. And Jesus took it. And this brings us back to the verse that we heard earlier. Perfect love drives out fear. God's perfect love for us in giving Christ to die in our place removes any reason to fear His judgment of us. We should fear God because He is holy, but we do not need to fear God that He will judge and punish us if we have accepted Jesus as our Savior. Now, who were the ones in the story that were told not to be afraid? Okay, one of them. Joseph was told not to be afraid. The shepherds were told not to be afraid. Mary was told not to be afraid. Who else? Zechariah. Good. They were told not to be afraid, and we are told we don't have to be afraid, because when we are right with Him, we do not need to fear Him. I mentioned there was other verses. One more is in Luke chapter 1, verse 74. And this is part of Zechariah's prophecy. After his son John was born, he has a long section there that he tells things that would happen. He's speaking about Jesus, and that in Jesus, God would bring salvation. And part of what Jesus would do was to rescue us and to make us able to serve Him, and this is the phrase, without fear. We can now serve God without fear. Have you ever had to do something and you were afraid that you were so afraid that you'd do it wrong and you would get in trouble because you would do it wrong? Maybe you haven't gotten to that part yet in life. How about the rest of you? Ever, maybe at work or later at some point in school, you were given a job and you were just fearful that if you did it wrong, you would get in trouble. We can serve God now and not be afraid. We can actually mess up. We can fail. We can do things wrong, and when we have come to God and accepted what Jesus Christ did for us, we don't have to be afraid. We can just ask for forgiveness and pick up and continue on with what we're doing. On the one hand, we have His love and mercy to all those who do fear Him. On the other hand, Christ has come to enable us to serve Him without fear. They're not a contradiction, but they come together. And this explains the real reason, the real purpose for Christmas. God was providing a way for all who fear God to live a life without being afraid of God. Instead, he gives us life in Jesus Christ, and that gives us peace and joy. And we can sing about that together. In fact, as you notice, there is a third candle lit today. We won't be doing a special talk on that, but that, maybe I should ask, do you remember what the third candle stood for? And? No?
Joy.
Right. Diana, did you hear that? Someone remembered. Joy. And we're going to sing about that. Joy to the world.